Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Middle of the week from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. It's the Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson, Kelly Sander, Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Big day on campus today. Bob Geddie will join us in the second segment as a new vision for the future of Reed Green Coliseum announced just in the past hour. Bob will be on site to break that down and also bring an interview. That's coming up in the second segment. Colin Cargill, former Southern Miss pitcher Colin Cargill, will join us in the third segment. This first segment brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue, located in a community near you. High school graduation, summer coming up. What greater time to let Dickey's Barbecue cater your next event? As always, you can go see our friend Justin Harris and his great team just outside Turtle Creek Mall in Hattiesburg. Kelly Sander, how's your Wednesday?
A lot better. It wasn't going so well until about the eighth inning last night.
Let's talk about it. Golden Eagles get a 5-4 comeback win against New Orleans last night, get their 28th win of the year, and here to join us, as he does every Wednesday, Southern Miss assistant baseball coach Travis Creel. And, Coach, Didn't get a hit till the fifth inning, and just kind of got back in it, and big two out comeback there in the seventh to tie it, and then to get the win. I know that the end of the game ended much better for you guys than the first half of it.
Yeah, certainly not the start we were looking for. I didn't love the energy, and for whatever reason, I thought we were kind of going through the motions a little bit, and to their credit, that turned it on and found a way to win. And to be honest with you, we really hit their best guy. That was their best pitcher, their closer that we got to in the eighth, or in the seventh and the eighth. And then, just early on, really bad at bats, just getting out the same way over and over. So it was pretty frustrating. But, credit to them. We found a way to win, man. That's what good teams do. You got to find a way to win when you don't play your best.
We've joked before about Coach Denson and Coach Palmer. Sometimes Coach Palmer would give up on his pitcher three pitches into the ballgame. Is there something that either leading up or in the first inning when you say, we've got to get this right quick as far as a mindset?
Yeah, you do it long enough, and you can kind of feel the energy, and if, like, for whatever reason, it's on me and as a hitting coach, and it's on our leaders, to not let that happen. One thing we haven't had to worry about with this team is energy and effort the entire season. Man, they bring it, and for whatever reason, yesterday I thought we came out flat. But again, to their credit, didn't panic, didn't freak out when it was easy to freak out. You could feel it at the peak. We're getting no hit through four or whatever it was, and. There was no panic. We stuck to the game plan, just started to execute a little bit better, and then got some big hits there in the seventh.
Kelly, it was in the seventh, as Coach Creel just said. I mean, you get two out singles, and and then able to get that back. Sander, I know that you were happy to see that seventh inning yesterday.
Well, they strung them together. That's one of the things that, early in the season, the Eagles were leaving a lot of guys on base, not getting the clutch hits. But Coach Creel, as we welcome you again, look, it's obvious that teams are loading up left-handed pitchers against this lineup. You can't just snap your fingers and create right-handed hitters and have them fall out of the sky. So how do you combat the overabundance of left-handed pitching you're seeing with a left-handed, traditionally left-handed hitting lineup?
Yeah, that's something we work on pretty much daily. We have a new machine that we've had for about a month now called the eye pitch, and basically you can create pitchers on there, and you can change pitches off the machine and really in about 4 seconds. So I think that's helped, especially with the left on left situation. And You know, the big thing is when we face those lefties, our righty's got to go. Our righty's got to get it done. And, you know, yesterday I thought our righty's maybe didn't hit. That lefty that started was pretty good, and our righty's didn't have great at-bats either. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely a work in progress. I feel like Slade, if you look at his stats, he's had a great year off lefties. Pato well as well. D-Max been solid. And just need a couple more to step up. And, you know, I do think we're making strides, and you know, been much better lately against left-handed pitchers.
One of the things that Coach Oz has been consistent about, and it's almost like he's selling the fan base week after week when he says, "Look, I'm telling you, the win-loss record might not be what you all want, but these guys are playing their guts out." And last night, I think, was really more evident. You know, whether you say they hit the snooze alarm or not. I mean, when they decided to get after it, they were a completely different team. It's amazing how that works.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, these guys compete. It's a great group of men. And, you know, to be 28 and 17 after, you know, the slower start, and it turns out you look back at our schedule, and it was a pretty tough schedule. Indiana State, that series win, looks like it's going to be a really big one. And Louisiana Tech has been really tearing it up, too, and won that series on the road as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, this group, like you said, you know, there's a lot of inexperience early. I feel like they're finally got their feet wet and kind of being themselves now.
Final question before I throw it back to Luke. You got the Chanticleers coming in here this weekend. They're not going to be in a real good mood after last weekend, you know, losing at home. Without putting too many of your cards on the table, what's problematic about beating Coastal Carolina? How you do it?
Yeah, they're a really good team. They're older. You know, they throw a lot of strikes, and they're really good on offense. So I just think we've got to be ourselves and compete. And I think, you know, our offense needs to be greedy and you know, take advantage of when we get runners on base, we need to get two out knocks. You know, I thought that was one thing kind of missing the Lafayette weekend. We faced some really good arms, but we had traffic a lot. And just against good arms, you got to get the two out hits, and that's what we're gonna have to do this weekend.
All right, I don't want to, you know, jinx anything, whether or not that really exists. You can just completely go silent for 3 seconds, and I will move on, okay?
All right.
Slade Wilkes extends the hitting streak to 18 games last night.
I didn't even know that, if I'm being honest with you. So, Slade's been working his tail off, man, and, you know, he probably, with the expectations he had come into this place and what he's done here, for whatever reason, you know, maybe doesn't get all the love that he deserves. But, man, he's hitting over 300 with 10 homers, and he's been a really good leader, great kid, great student, pretty much what you want your son to grow up with to be like. So, yeah, you know, Slade, so happy for him that he's coming along, and he's finally, I think, fully healthy too, which helps.
As a hitting coach, and we mentioned this guy off air, I mean, what Kobe Allen did coming in Saturday and allowing that runner to get on and then three straight strikeouts. He comes in last night, inherits that lead, or the tie game. We go ahead, and then five out of his six outs are strikeouts. As a hitting coach, what does he do so well that has allowed him to thrive as a pitcher?
Well, first off, elite competitor, the best competitor we have on our pitching staff probably and up there on our team. But just from the baseball side of it, it's a power sinker. It's hard. It's 90-93, and it looks like it's going to be at your knee, and then you get a swing, and that thing is at your ankle. So that's really tough. And then because he's gained that velo that he probably didn't have last year, now you got to kind of cheat to the fastball a little bit, and that slider you're going to be out in front of. So the competitiveness, the ability to throw, you know, any pitch in any count, and then just the movement on his fastball is what makes him so tough.
Hey, Coach, something I just thought about, Luke, if I can interject here. You were talking about, and yesterday we were talking about when pitchers get 0-2 counts, 1-2 counts, sometimes they'll waste a pitch. And with so much emphasis being placed on, you know, the fewer pitches, the better, conserving pitchers' arms, how do you approach 0-2 or what do you tell your hitters on 0-2? Are you seeing more pitchers waste that third pitch then, or are more and more coming after the guys on 0-2, 1-2?
Yeah, we'll have a pretty good scouting report on what each pitcher does. A lot of pitchers, they'll what you said, waste that pitch. And then, you know, some staff don't. So it's really team to team. But for us, our two-strike approach, you know, never really changes. So we're going to sell out to what we do. And, you know, if it's out of the zone, we'll spit, or, you know, that's the goal. And if it's in it, we'll be on time. So, I do think it varies team to team and pitcher to pitcher, but with all the technology these days, we have a pretty good idea of what they're going to do.
About 30 seconds left. Next week, no midweek. And how does that change the approach at all? I mean, Tuesday, of course, you guys will, you know, still get work in. But as far as just really the first time all year, there's no midweek.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's a long season. It's a grind for these guys. They play, you know, four games a week for the last, you know, 10 weeks or whatever it's been. And to have rest physically is good. They're not going to have rest mentally because it's finals week. But to give them a little, their bodies a break, I think is good, and get everybody fresh for the late season push.
Good stuff. Coach Creel, congrats on the win last night, and thanks for joining us today.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Travis Creel. Golden Eagles last night tied in the seventh. Davis Gillespie knocks in Ozzie Pratt and Dalton McIntyre. And then, Kelly, Gabe Rodas coming up late, knocking Brady Faust in the eighth, and then Kobe Allen slamming the door.
And Gabe is coming on. You know, he's had kind of a quiet streak there, and now he's making some noise. Glad to
Pearl
see
Pro River
it.
Guy, right?
He is.
And tomorrow we will have somebody on that knows Gabe very well.
Michael Avalon, the head baseball coach at Pearl River, will be here. They won their district, but when we come back, we're going to live to Reed Green Coliseum. That's when the Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
This segment brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Open 24 hours a day, 24/7 at Campus Bookmart with a T.net, the bright gold building right across from the main campus of the university, with graduation coming up in a couple weeks. Great place to get that perfect graduation gift. There was a press conference at 12 o'clock today unveiling the future for Reed Green Coliseum. Joining us live at Reed Green now is our colleague, Bob Getty, who can break it all down for us. Bob?
Hey, thanks a lot, Kelly. I'm here with Athletics Director Jeremy McLean, and you're right. There was a news conference at 12 o'clock when the long-awaited architectural drawings of the Reed Green renovation were revealed. And, Jeremy, I know that you've been working on this for a while. You expressed, and I agree, this is an important day at Southern Miss.
No, it certainly is, you know, for a lot of reasons. But, of course, we've been working on this project for quite some time, and to be able to get to a place where we had enough confidence in our funding mechanism and what we wanted to kind of show to the public, it's a big day. And this is going to be transformative for our basketball programs, I think, for our community, for our campus. You know, this is, I kind of said earlier today during the press conference, you know, this Reed Green is in a lot of ways kind of a cultural hub for the community. Over the years, a lot of important things have happened in that building. And whether it's graduations or basketball games or concerts, and, you know, we want that to continue to be the case. And I think this gives us an opportunity to really create a future for this building and for our programs that can be really special.
All right, Jeremy, the money from this, $35 million, this was generated how?
Well, the majority of it is going to be through a 1 cent tax that was voted into place in 2019. And so we were able to, with that revenue stream, we get that revenue comes to us monthly. And with that revenue stream, we were able to create some debt service through a bond issue. And so the majority of this project will be funded that way. There will be a fundraising element as well, some naming opportunities, things that we'll be able to lean into and get some traction on, but the majority of it is going to be funded through that bond.
Okay, a quick summary, a new north entrance with a lobby, ticketing and arena offices, a practice facility for the men and women's teams, the addition of 200 premium style seats, log style seats at the top of the bowl, an additional 625 sideline premium seats, new arena club level with drink rails and casual seating, updated concessions and restrooms. Is there anything that's most important? And I sort of heard from you that you really think the practice facility is important.
Yeah, I do. I think for a multitude of reasons, I think the practice facility was really at the top of the list for me. And the reason being, number one, if we're going to host more outside events in Reed Green Coliseum, which we definitely want to do, then we're going to have a place where our teams can practice. And so that's a big part of it. And also, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, as we're competing against teams that look like us, there are a lot of those programs, most of those programs have practice facilities. And then just the actual player development piece, just the ability to get shots up whenever you need to get shots up and not to have the floor offline or not have to, you know, right now we've got two teams practicing, you know, we have to juggle schedules and try to get everybody accommodated. This gives us a ton more flexibility in how we operate. And I think from a player development standpoint, it's going to be really important for us.
Well, Jeremy, put the time perspective in front of our audience, if you will. This will be taking place when, and when would you anticipate the construction to be finished?
So, as I mentioned earlier, we got approval to issue a bond. That happened in February. So once we knew that, we were able to kind of hit the fast-forward button and start really digging in on some of the design and planning. And so that's the phase we're in right now. It's the planning phase. And so this process of getting into the programming, solidifying things, getting to construction documents, and getting it out to bid is about an eight-month process. And so early 2025, we anticipate getting it out to bid. And then as soon as that can be awarded you know, we'll be ready to hit the ground running and break ground. And then it's a two-year process from start to finish. And that's the estimate, of course. The reason it's a two-year process is because we need to continue to play basketball in this facility. We need to continue to have graduation in this facility. We need to continue to do the things that have to be done for our community. So we feel confident that we can do the renovations and make this kind of progress without having to shut the facility down completely during key times of the year. So it will be a two-year window that we're looking at from start to finish.
When it's completed, Jeremy, where do you think this will put Southern Miss in respect to other Sun Belt teams basketball facility-wise?
There's quite a few really, really nice basketball facilities in our league, some that have been built recently, you know, from the ground up. But I think with this renovation, I think this is going to look and feel in a lot of ways like a new building. And, you know, my thought on that, kind of being around the league, is that this is going to put us in the top third of the league of places that are going to be great to watch basketball games, are going to have everything a student-athlete needs to be successful. And you know, one of the things we wanted to hold on to is the home court advantage. You know, Reed Green's always been a place that, you know, is loud and it really does create an edge for our teams. And we think we've been able to make the adjustments we need to without sacrificing any of that.
In today's world of college athletics, how important are facilities like this in recruiting? And I hate to even bring this up, but now in maintaining your roster from year to year.
No, they're critical. They always have been important. I think, you know, that hasn't changed. I think as you think about recruiting and, as you said, maintaining rosters, there's always the comparison piece of that puzzle. You know, what are my options and what do I feel comfortable with as far as facilities and development? And I think this really answers a lot of those questions that could have existed before. Now, our programs have done a really good job of recruiting without a practice facility, without the renovations, but I think this is going to give us an opportunity to take that next step.
Will the coaches be involved as you move forward with this?
Yeah, certainly. So they've been involved. Kind of kept them abreast of what we were thinking and asked them questions as we've gone through. They will be much more involved over the next 3 or 4 months as we define the programming, make sure we're dotting every I and crossing every T, and we're doing the things that they need to function on a daily basis and from just that space standpoint. So they'll be very involved over the next few months, and I look forward to that process with them.
Without revealing anything confidential, it's pretty clear to all of us that both of our basketball coaches have had some health issues. How are they both doing, Jeremy?
Yeah, they both seem to be doing well. Certainly, Jay is kind of back at work, recruiting hard, and gotten thumbs up from his doctors, and definitely has some checkups down the road, but feels good and is doing really well. And Coach McNeil has finished our treatment this week, and had a good report, and you know, tells me she feels much better, gotten some of her energy back after getting through some of the treatment. And so she's feeling much better.
Okay. This is, I know, been a big project of yours. How do you feel today?
Well, I feel I'm excited. Of course, I've gotten to stare at these renderings for quite some time and tweak and adjust and try to get ready for this day. So it's fun to be able to share it publicly. But it's also kind of just the next step, right? There's a lot of work still to be done. And so, for us, the beauty of these kind of days, it's a lot of fun to share this. And you and I will finish up this conversation, and then we'll move on to what's next. And that's okay. That's what we have to do, and so we're going to continue to do them. But it's a fun day because we get to talk about where we're headed as a program. And I'm excited about that. To get the opportunity to share it with people and have other people be excited about it is a lot of fun.
You know, I know there are a lot of families like this. When I was listening to you talk, I was thinking to myself, my wife and I went through Reed Green Coliseum when we finished school, and our children did. You know, it's really a very historic and important part of the campus.
It is, and I think I mentioned that earlier. I think it's one of the things I'm most excited about is there's a lot of people who've walked across the stage, in Reed Green Coliseum, high schools, college graduations. And then the countless basketball games that people have been a part of and love to tell stories about, concerts. It is really a hub for this community, and it's really important for us to maintain kind of the integrity of that. And I'm thrilled that we've gotten to where we've gotten to, and I feel like we've accomplished that.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Certainly.
Jeremy McClain, Athletics Director. Kelly, big day here on the campus. You and I talk a lot about athletics at Southern Miss. I'm sure you agree with us. This is a huge step forward for Coach Ladner, Coach McNellis, and our basketball program.
You know, one of the things that jumped out to me, Bob, in looking at some of the facts and figures is that the seating, the number of seats, is actually going to decrease some. And I actually think that's a great idea. You know, the intimacy it adds to the intimacy, being closer to the court and things like that. And if seats are going to sit empty, why not make that ticket be more at a premium, if you will?
Yeah, I'll let Jeremy comment on that.
Yeah, great point, Kelly. And that was something we spent a lot of time talking about. And in this scenario, you most definitely are, the places you're losing seats are the furthest away from the court, to your point. And we're adding seats that are going to be a lot closer to the sideline. And so, the hope is that we're going to enhance what is already a great home court advantage by getting everybody closer to the court, and it's going to be a better seat. And so that was a big part of the discussion, and then definitely outside events. What's the right seat number to attract the right concert, right? And how many seats can we get on the floor? And we kind of went through that exercise, and we feel like we've landed in a really good spot.
Bad news for you, Kelly. They're not going to bring Johnny Mathis to the Coliseum anytime soon.
Well, not if it's going to take 2 years, because I think Johnny's 89 years 89 years old. So I don't think that'll happen. Bob, thanks for that live report from Reed Green Coliseum. When we come back, we'll be talking with Colin Cargill, former sidearm pitcher for Southern Miss, still in the baseball game, but not at Southern Miss. We'll get his perspective of the season. And then Luke Johnson will rejoin us, and we'll recap everything. A lot of things going on today on the Southern Miss campus. Eagle Hour continues in a moment.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar and Grill brings you this segment of the Eagle Hour where the game is always on and everyone does always know your name because it's a great place for Southern Miss alum and Southern Miss students to hang out, shoot a game of pool, maybe a game of darts. They've even got Golden Tee there, the machine where you can play the best PGA courses in America. And, of course, coldest drinks anywhere in the shadow of the rock, pregame or postgame, 4th Street Bar and Grill. Joining us now on the phone is Colin Cargill, the all-time save leader at Southern Miss. And besides knowing the Hattiesburg area and having known you since you were a kid, Colin, you and I have something else very much in common that our research staff came up with this morning. As we welcome you, do you have any idea what that might be?
I have no clue. You're going to have to tell me.
Okay, well, you had 1 year a 0.93 earned run average, and that was my grade point average at graduation.
Well, there we go. We have something in common.
How did you graduate with a 0.93 GPA?
Believe me, they wanted
me graduate.
They wanted me gone. So it was just, please, we'll give it to you if you leave. But good to have you on, man. And, of course, you're still involved in collegiate baseball coaching. Give me just the overview of your thought on this. Obviously still bleed a little black and gold. What's your overview of the Southern Miss season so far, and particularly with this pitching staff that's been so decimated with injuries?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, anywhere you play baseball, it's going to be hard, you know. And I think they've had their ups and downs this year, but you know, I believe that, you know, they'll figure it out. And I think that's just, you know, how the culture has been set there for many, many years now. Even before I was there, that culture was said that, you know, they're going to get it done somehow, some way. And I really do think, I believe in, you know, that coaching staff they got there will figure it out. And I think there's some guys need to step up. And I think that's probably been, you know, been told to those guys by Oz and, you know, the other coaches as well that, you know, you got to step up, and we need you to step up. And I think that's, you know, I think that's what's going to happen. And, you know, I really do believe it will.
Now, Colin, by no means are you an old man by any stretch of the imagination, but you are still involved in college baseball. How has the game and or the players changed in the short time since your playing days and now coaching days?
Well, I think, you know, the obvious one is the NIL stuff. I think that's changed the game a good bit, and you know, it's changed the recruiting, you know, aspect of things probably the most. But I think the game and the players have changed. Probably, I think a lot of it has to do with social media and, you know, their phones that they have in their hand. You know, they have access to, you know, pretty much everything that they want or want to see in their hands. And, you know, back when I was playing, we didn't have any of that. We have none of that. We trusted and our coaches, we trusted, you know, who, you know, what they were saying, and, you know, we believed in it, and then we just got to work. And I think that, I think you got to be able to juggle that now as a coach. You got to be able to juggle the social media and, you know, what those guys are looking at. And, you know, it could be the possibly they're looking at the same thing that we're doing, but I'm just speaking a different language to them, and it might be messing them up at times. And, you know, I think that's where we got to come in as coaches and kind of juggle things a little bit.
But Colin, when you take into account Perfect Game, Under Armour, Baseball Factory, all these things, it seems like all kids are posting is, look what I did. Look at how great I am. My parents are telling me every day how special I am. This is a team game, and although there's no I in team, there is an M-E, and I see this being really problematic.
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely be, you know, problematic at times. You know, we tell our guys where I'm at, you know, what do you want to bring on the boat? You know, you want to keep it in-house? Do you want to keep it within the team? Or do you want to, you know, bring other stuff within the boat? And when you do that, what happens to the boat? It starts to sink. And, you know, we want to be able to keep it everything in-house, you know, keep everything within the team, within the program. And, you know, I think once you kind of set that, you know, at the beginning of the fall, and just kind of reiterate it throughout the fall and into the spring, the guys start to understand that this is what we want and this is what we need. And if we start to bring other, you know, things within the program that can hurt us, it could sink the boat and real quick. And I think that's where we need to be able to talk to the guys, you know, every day about things like that. And, you know, it really does help when they start to understand, you know, things like that can really hurt a program.
We're visiting with Colin Cargill, assistant coach for Mississippi College for baseball. Of course, great closer and pitcher for Southern Miss. I want to ask you, because I think people will be intrigued by this, what's your philosophy in calling, a game with pitches and particularly just like one game and kind of maybe some inside, just general inside information the average fan doesn't realize goes into that.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, we have scouting reports. We have a lot of video access to, the guys that we're going to be playing. And, that takes a lot into account of how I'm going to call pitches. But also, I got to look at what my pitcher can do and his strengths. And I can't just go out there and ask him to do something that he can't do. And that's me understanding him and understanding him throughout the fall and into the spring, what he can and cannot do. And, that has a lot to go into it as well. And, I'm gonna call pitches to my pitcher's strengths for one, and then I'm gonna go and try to do a balancing act between him and what the hitter can do, and what he wants and what he's looking for. So it's definitely a challenge, and by no means am I perfect, and nobody is when it comes to that. I tell our pitchers all the time that you can throw a perfect pitch and it can get hit out of the ballpark, or you could throw a hanging breaking ball, and a guy can swing right through it. So I mean it's definitely a tough thing to do. Sometimes I second guess myself, I think, as every coach does. But I think you got to look at the pitcher's strengths and what he can and cannot do, and then go to the hitter's weaknesses and kind of put that together. And when you're calling pitches, and when those hitters make an adjustment, throughout the game, you got to be able to make an adjustment as a pitching coach and calling pitches. You got to be able to make that adjustment when you see that they are. So it's definitely, it's a hard thing to do, for sure. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to dig into it and really start to understand things.
You and Kelly were talking about the shifting, just the atmosphere and landscape of with NIL stuff. But what about, this technology with the earpieces, with the bracelet, with, the armbands? How has that, in the last 5 years, I mean, that's changed the approach as well, I guess, from an efficiency standpoint?
I mean, I'm an old school guy, I guess. I'm not old, like, Kelly said, but I'm an old school heart when it comes to coach. I was coached that way, but I absolutely love it. I love the armband. I love the pitch clock. Honestly, I didn't like the pitch clock at first, but now I do. I think it's a good thing. I try to teach our guys, I want them to deliver a pitch 12 seconds or less. I don't want them hitters sitting there thinking about making adjustments. I want them to, be able to be uncomfortable in that batter's box. So I want them to get on the mound, get going right away. And I think when you have that pitch, the pitch calm or whatever you have, I think it just makes it easier for that tempo to be real quick. And, I think I think it's a good thing. Honestly, I mean, I think a lot of old school people probably don't like it as much, but I've turned the corner on that. I've turned the corner, I could say.
would Coach Palmer ever have turned the corner on that?
No, he would not have. He probably would have hated every bit of it.
From 2003 until 2018, Tubb, Best, Con, Cargill, Ronnie, and Sandlin accounted for 148 saves for Southern Miss baseball. How does it feel for you as you look back that line of closers for the Golden Eagles?
Well, I think it's just, it's great to be mentioned with a lot of those guys, and all those guys were great in their own right. And I was thankful to be a part of it. But it's not about me. It's about who we had around us and our teammates. And there's plenty of times that my teammates had to pick me up when I gave up a lead and, had a tie ball game, and then they end up scoring a run and we win the ball game. And, it's all about, the guys that you had around you that I was able to get those saves. And I was, just happy to be around, really good teammates. And we had some really great teams back then when I was playing. And, I think just being mentioned in the same breath as some of those guys, I mean, I think they would probably say the same thing. They had a bunch of great teammates around them, great teams around them, and we were just fortunate enough to be in that right spot at the end of the game.
Now, Colin, you were a sidewinder, an undershooter, whatever you want to call it, sidearm pitcher.
Many names, Colin.
Right,
many names.
But those are some good ones. Those are.
Yeah. We get called cheaters sometimes.
Bruce Sutter, Dan Quisenberry, just to name some major league. sidearms back in the day. Is it just me, or are we not seeing many sidearm pitchers anymore? And if we're not, why not?
You know, I was kind of, you know, it's crazy that you say that, because I was kind of thinking the same thing not too long ago. And, you know, I've come to a conclusion, and I might be wrong, but, you know, there's a lot of hitting coaches teaching that uphill swing. And it's not the level swing anymore. I mean, there's some guys that do, but some guys have that uphill swing to get the lift on the ball, get more home runs, but there's more strikeouts. But I think that has a lot to do with it, because if I was pitching nowadays and I saw a guy that had an uphill swing, I would have to make adjustments, because that plays right into where I'm pitching, and it would be difficult. So I would have to make adjustments, you know, throughout it nowadays, if I was pitching. But back in the day, everybody had level swings. It was,
right.
I'm not saying easy for me by no means, but that kind of played in my strength.
Colin, I'll have to cut you off because we're up against a hard break here. But, man, always good to talk to you. Great Golden Eagle forever. And thanks for being on the show, man. We'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. No problem.
All right. Colin Cargill, former Southern Miss sidearm relief pitcher. Luke and I will break down the press conference from Reed Green and what it means for Reed Green and more stuff in a moment.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Appreciate Colin Cargill joining us, former dominant Southern Miss closer for the Golden Eagle baseball team. That is a pretty wild list of names. 148 saves from 2003 to 2018. Sandlin, Tubb, Kahn, Roney.
Yeah, but when
Colin Cargill,
but when you look
Daniel
at,
Best,
when you look at that list too, though, Luke, and here you got Nick Sandlin, who's just tearing it up in the major leagues and making millions. You just in the circle of life, you wonder why Nick Sandlin and not Colin Cargill. You know, I mean, just
Colin got drafted by the Marlins, but yeah, I mean,
but you know what I mean? Is to how
Nick's a specialist. I mean, that's what he is.
But I mean, all those guys were great. But why is it that some guys? I don't know. It's just weird, huh?
Time, opportunities.
And God puts you where you're supposed to be for whatever reason.
What's wild is I can't remember Roney and Kahn's arm slot, but Best, Tubb, Cargill, and Sandlin were all, sidearmers or underarmer. And, of course, Keller Bradford's in there too.
That's right. Keller Bradford now on staff. The other thing about the sidearm pitchers is you're seeing a lot more left-handed hitting, and left-handers – have a huge advantage on a right-handed sidearmer because they pick up that ball a lot quicker, which a lot of people don't realize. It's all about
and it moves, you know, any off-speed moves towards them. So, fourth segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by DBAT. I'm sure there's somebody at DBAT that could teach you to throw that way. Lots of instruction, lots of good hitting. Pro Shop, saw it DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke, Michael, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, all right, second segment today, real big interview with Jeremy McClain. And also, first segment, we spent time with Travis Creel. If you missed all those, go back and listen to the Eagle Hour on demand in podcast form. But, Kelly, let's the rest of the time here, about 4 minutes, let's unpack more. What stood out to you in the $35 million project, the announcement of it today, to basically overhaul Reed Green Coliseum and add several great things to it?
The practice facility. And I wondered, you know, well, where are they going to put that? Because the natural place to me would be, as you're looking south from the entrance of the north, it would be over to the right where the intramural fields are. But it's actually going to be on the backside, in between the Johnson Natatorium and the DuBard School. It's going to be back there, but within those confines back there. So that. And the fact that Jeremy McClain referred a couple of times to bringing concerts back to Reed Green. For example, you got REO Speedwagon, which a lot of you younger kids won't necessarily know, and I'm not making fun, but a band that's still...
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. I mean, they're going to be in Brandon tonight.
Right.
You know, why not Hattiesburg? And the fact that, well, we know why not in Hattiesburg, because there's not a facility that could house them. But the fact that Jeremy McClain sees that as a revenue generating source is to bring concerts, whoever the artists might be, to Hattiesburg. Those are the two things that stuck out to me.
So the breakdown of what the announcement was today, a new north entrance. So if you're looking, standing in front of the Coliseum, looking at the Pete, there will be a grand entrance there with lobby, ticketing office, arena offices. Now, if you were to turn around then and face the Coliseum on the complete other side of the Coliseum. So, Kelly, if you're on the back side of the Coliseum, okay?
Right.
And you know where the basketball office entrances are now?
Right, right.
Directly to the left of that, on the back side of the Coliseum, that is where the practice court facility will be. So if you are hovering with a drone over Reed Green Coliseum in true north, south, east, west,
right,
the grand entrance is to the north, the practice facility is to the south, directly next to the entrances of the basketball office. All of that is within the present circle of Reed Green Coliseum. So the diagrams, you're not taking up any of the parking that actually goes around Reed Green Coliseum.
I'm glad you cleared that up, because I'm sure as people tried to envision that, they probably thought that was the case.
And if you go to Southern Miss on X or Twitter, and the university has released a video, and it shows kind of Reed Green before and Reed Green after. Some more of the vision includes 200 premium style seats at the top of the bowl, 625 premium sideline seats. So it's almost like a slope on both sides that rises in the middle. Those are the premium, where the present chairbacks are now. A new arena club level with casual seating, all that's on there. And updated restrooms and concessions.
Yeah, that's been the biggest beef that most people have had is look, the cattle car day of restrooms has kind of gone the way of the buffalo, to use another animal term. So, yeah, those were definitely that they were most in need of. But the fact, look, make no mistake here, there's going to be a lot of marketing involved in selling these very much like they did in football in the south end zone. You know, selling those for higher dollars and maximizing. It's all about the money, folks. So you're going to get a chance to see a game in real style in a couple of years.
It's going to be good. Tomorrow, Michael Avalon from Pearl River working to get also someone from Coastal Carolina to talk Chanticleer. Chanticleer.
I got it right.
Chanticleer.
Correct.
Chanticleer. Chanticleer baseball as Coastal gets ready to come in this weekend. And we got a remote Friday.
We'll be at Fuzzy's Tacos. Looking forward to that as well, getting ready for that series with the Chanticleers.
We'll catch you tomorrow. Bob will be back with us in studio. Appreciate Michael producing for us today. We'll catch you tomorrow. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.